Welcome to Tarati Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esti Kimchi, and today we'll be studying Sefer Yoshua Perek Yud Dalet, the 14th Perek. Quick recap, Perek Yud Gemal, the Perek that we have just studied. Hashem had told Yoshua that he was getting old and much of Eretz Yisrael had still not been conquered. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Yoshua, nonetheless, start dividing up the land. The Perek had given us the list of all the unconquered territory in Eretz Canaan. And Yoshua had then gone ahead and started dividing up the land, Me'eder HaYardin, on the eastern side of the Jordan River, the land that had been promised to Reuven, God, and half of the tribe of Manasseh. And now in this Perek, we're going to see Yoshua together with Elazar HaKohen, and the heads of the tribes are going to start dividing up the land of Eretz Yisrael for each of the tribes. Kalev ben Yefuneh from the tribe of Yehuda is going to step forward and remind Yehoshua of the promise that Hashem had made to Kalev, that he and his descendants should be given the city and the area of Hebron. Pasuk Aleph. Ve'ela asher nachalu b'nei Yisrael be'aretz Canaan. And this is what is apportioned and inherited to the b'nei Yisrael in the land of Canaan. Now we're talking about the actual lands on the western side. Asher nachlu osam Elazar HaKohen, and it's going to be divided up and apportioned out to them by Elazar HaKohen, the Yehoshua bin Nun, v'roshei avos hamatos livnei Yisrael, and the heads of all the tribes. And what's going to happen, Pasuk Beis tells us, b'goral nachalosam kashetziva Hashem, there's going to be a goral, there's going to be a lottery, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Moshe to do for the 9.5 tribes. The Gemara explains that every portion that was picked out, they picked out a portion in the goral, in the lottery, and then it was connected up in the lottery with a different tribe, and this was all validated by the Urim V'Tumim. They were told through the Urim V'Tumim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this is exactly how it was meant to be divided up. The Pesukim now going to divide up how we get to the 9.5 tribes, and they're going to remind us that we're not going to include Shevet Levi, because they don't have their own portion of the land. And the tribe of Yosef is going to be divided into two, into the tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim, the portions rather of Manasseh and Ephraim. And if you take minus out of the 12, 2.5 tribes, who we've already given their portion to on the other side of the Yarden, we're going to be left with 9.5 tribes. And Pasuk Hey tells us they do exactly what Moshe had told, Hashem had told rather Moshe to do. So now we have a system where no individual is going to be given land, but the land is going to be divided into tribes through a goral. The Abarbanel describes actually that the land was actually divided into different regions. We're going to have the valley area, the mountain area, the north of the land, the south of the land, the water area, the mountain area, but we're not going to be given the exact borders like we were given on the other side of the Yarden. And what happens is the lottery is done. We pick out a tribe, we pick out a portion. So now we know that this tribe gets this piece of land. And then after all the tribes are allotted a portion, we look at the size of the tribes, because some tribes had far greater numbers than the other tribes, and they adjusted the boundaries of the inheritance of the portion according to the actual size of the tribe. So it's very clear. There were no personal orders, no personal requests. Once each tribe got its portion, it was then subdivided again, all approved by the Urim V'Tumim, into like family allotments. So it's very strange what happens in Pasuk Vav. Vayikshu b'nei Yehuda al Yehoshua bal Gilgal. The members of the tribe of Yehuda come to Yehoshua, who we know at that time is in Gilgal, vayomer elav Kalev ben Yefuneh haKnizi. And it's Kalev ben Yefuneh who starts to speak. And he says, Ata yadata, you know, talking to Yoshua, Esadavar asher diber Hashem al Moshe ish ha'elokim. You remember the thing that Hashem had spoken to Moshe, the man of God, about, concerning alodosai v'alodosecha b'kodesh barnea, the matter that had happened to both you and me, he says to Yoshua, in Kadesh Barnea. And of course, he's referencing here the story of the 12 tribes and how it was Yehoshua and Kalev, the two of them, who had come back with a positive message about the land. And Kalev sort of reminisces and continues in Pasuk Zayin, Ben Arba'im Shana Anochi Bishlach Moshe Eved Hashem Osi Mikadesh Barnea. I was a man of 40 when Moshe sent me from Kadesh Barnea L'Ragel Sa'aretz to go and spy out the lands. And he says, you know what happened? V'ashiv Oso Davar Kasher Im Levavi. I came back, I brought him back words as it was in my heart. Pasuk Ches, Va'achai, but my brothers. Interestingly, he calls the other spies his brothers. Asher Olu Imi, that has gone up with me, Him Siv Eslev Ha'am. They caused the hearts of the nation to melt. And we know that that led to the very first Tisha B'Av. Va'anochi, Kalev says about himself, I, Milesi Achari Hashem Elokai, but I followed HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely. I did not come back with a negative report, he was saying. And in Pasuk Tes, he says, Vayishava Moshe Bayom Hahu Lemar. Moshe made a promise to me on that day, saying, Im lo ha'aretz ashadarcha rag lechaba, surely the land which your foot trod on, lachotie lenachala levanecha adolam, this land will be given to you and your children as an inheritance forever, ki mileisa acharei Hashem Elokai, because you followed wholeheartedly after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So first of all, if you look at the Pesukim in Parsha Shlach, where the story actually takes place, we have a slightly different version of events. The Pasuk there tells us that Hashem, after telling Moshe what the punishment is going to be for all the people, for all the men between 20 and 60 who cried all of that night, and of course to the other 10 spies, Hashem then says, Va'avdi Kalev, but my servant Kalev, Ekev Haisa Ruach Acheretmo, because he had this other spirit in him, Va'yemale Acharai, and he followed after me, Va'aveisov El Ha'aret Asher Basham Avazari Yerushalayim, I will bring him to the lands that you're eventually going to come to, and his children will inherit there. But it doesn't specify in the Pesukim the exact area of land that he's going to be given. So it seems a little bit strange in the next few Pesukim when Yehoshua hears from Kalev that I would like the area of Chevron. If we just go back again to Pasuk Tes and look a little bit more in detail, we sort of get a hint to what's going on, because Kalev says, Moshe said to me on that day, Im lo ha'aretz ashadarcha rag lechaba. It's going to be the land that you stood on that's going to be given to you and your children forever. Now, honestly, we know that Yehoshua and Kalev, together with the other spies, had, you know, trekked the length and breadth of the land. What exactly does Kalev mean when he said, the land that I stood on, or rather, what exactly does Moshe say? Is Kalev saying that Moshe said, the land that my foot stood on? I mean, his foot had stood on the entire land. So again, here we have to go back to the story of the spies inside. And we're all familiar. There's a pasuk there that describes how Vaya'alu Banegev, they all went up from the south, in the plural, Vayovo ad Chevron, and he came to Chevron. And Rashi there, quoting the Gemara in Sota, tells us, this teaches us that Kalev separated from the council of the other spies, and he went and he davened at the graves of the forefathers in Chevron. And he said to them, my forefathers, pray for mercy for me so that I will be saved from the council of the spies. So the land that he's referring to that I walked on specifically is the area of Chevron. What had happened? Chevron, Kalev rather, had had a suspicion that this spying trip of the land would go wrong. And the Ara Chaim actually points out that even Kalev himself was almost swayed. He almost got himself caught up in what was going on with the other spies. And therefore, he'd gone off to daven at Kivrei Avos for the strength to not be drawn into this and to not be swayed. And he comes back, and according to his Pesukim, Hashem misses Kalev Chevron. And then Kalev continues and he says, behold, Hashem has kept me alive. He spoke these 45 years from the time that Hashem said these words to Moshe. Klal Yisrael's walked in the Midbar, and now on this day, behold, Ben Chomesh Shmonim Shana, I'm a man of 85 years old. Rashi actually says it's from the these words of Kalev that were able to do the maths and work out that the Kibush Ha'aretz, the conquering of the land, took them 7 years. And then Kalev continues in Yud Aleph and says about himself, Odeni Hayom Chazak, I'm as strong today, this is a man of 85 years old talking, Kasher B'yom Shloach Osi Moshe, on the just like I was on the day that Moshe sent me. I have the same strength, kokochi az, just like my strength was then, kokochi ata is my strength right now, la mochama, for war, v'latzeis, to go, v'lavo, and to come. What Kalev is saying is, yes, I know that Chevron is a complicated place. It's a place where giants live. It's a place of fortified cities, of walled cities. But I am strong, Moshe, Yehoshua. You do not have to worry and be concerned that I'm unable to conquer this area. I am physically strong. And the Abarbanel, amongst other Mepharshim, points out that he was also saying, my heart is strong. not just my body, but I am strong in my heart. I have the same strength in my heart. Just like back then, I was able to stand up for what I believed and not get drawn into what the other spies were doing. So too, I am as strong of heart right now. And in Pasuk Yud Beis, he tells Yehoshua, please, Ata Tnali Esahar Hazeh, give me this mountain, Asher Dibar Hashem B'Yom Ahu, that Hashem had said that I could have on that day. And Yehoshua turns around and says to him, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayivarchehu Yehoshua, Yehoshua blesses him, Vayitin Es Chevron, Nekalev Ben Yefuna Lanachla. And he gives Chevron to Kalev Ben Yefuna as an inheritance. There's a little note at the end in Pasuk Tesvav that tells us V'shem Chevron Lefanim Kiryas Arba. You should know that the name of Chevron beforehand was Kiryas Arba. Ha'adam Hagad Ba'anakim there, because of the great giants that live there. And again, we were reminded V'ha'aret Shokta Milchama, and the land was quiet from war. Eretz Yisrael is now fully ready to be divided up. This is the end of the parak, but I want to go back for a minute and try to understand something about the story with Kalev and Chevron. Because the question is, why did Kalev Davka specifically choose to daven and go to Chevron? He saw things were going wrong. He knew he needed chizuk. And it was very clear to everyone that in Eretz Yisrael there was a place called Yerushalayim, and even if it wasn't called Yerushalayim, they knew that there was a mountain, and even if they didn't know exactly where this mountain was, they knew that there was an area where the Akedah had taken place, where Yaakov's dream had taken place, the Evan HaShasiyah. This was, the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah could be felt the strongest. Surely this would have been a far better choice for Kalev to have gone to daven at than choose to go all the way to Chevron. And we know that there were giants in Chevron. It wasn't such an easy place to access. What did Kalev see in Chevron that he decided, I'm going to go to Chevron and not go to the areas of Yerushalayim, to the area of Har HaBayis? Moshe Wolfson, in his beautiful Sefer, Emunah Satecha, is going to take us on a little bit of a journey to understand what Kalev's thinking was and to understand the power of the city of Chevron. Chevron, as its name suggests, means chibur, connection. In the Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, in Mem Dalet, we're told that it was during the Bris Bein HaBesarim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avraham Avinu and he says to him, listen, Avraham, in the future your children will mess up. And I am going to give you a choice now how you think you would like them to be punished. I'm giving you two options. They can either experience something called Gehenim, says Chazal. This was being cut off basically from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or they can go through the Malchios, the kingdoms, which is a reference to a period called Galus. It will be a time when they will feel very distant from me. They won't be in the land. They won't be a Beis HaMikdash. But I'm promising you, I will still be with them. And Avraham Avinu turns around in the Medrash. And Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Amar, Avram Barar Lo Es Birar Lo, sorry, Es HaMalchios. Avram goes ahead and says, I'll take option two, please, Hashem. I'd rather my children went through this thing called Galus than going through Gehenim. I'd rather that my children experience a time when they felt very far away from you, but actually you are really right there connected to them. We actually see this idea coming up as well in the story when Yosef was sent by Yaakov. If you remember, the pasuk there tells us, "Vayishlachehu me'emek Chevron vayavoshchema." Yaakov Avinu accompanies Yosef on his journey, and he sends him me'emek Chevron, from the valley of Chevron towards Shechem. Now, again, Rashi says it's very nicely, but if we know our geography, we know that Chevron is certainly not in a valley. Chevron actually sits about 800 meters above sea level. And Rashi says, V'halo Chevron Bahar? We know that Chevron's in a mountain. And then Rashi continues, quoting the Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, and he says, Emek over here doesn't mean a valley. Emek rather refers to the deep idea of the tzaddik that is buried deep in Chevron. This is referring us back to the promise that Avraham Avinu received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there will be times when you will go into Galus, but I promised you that I will always be with you. And you can almost imagine Yaakov Avinu standing there, and he knows that this moment of sending Yosef off is likely to lead to the beginning of his entire family leaving Eretz Canaan, traveling down to Mitzrayim, and the promise of Kiger Yer Zaracha Be'eretz Lo Lahem, that his children are going to now go into Galus. And you almost feel that Yaakov is saying to Yosef, this is it, this is the moment. You're going to go into Galus, but remember the promise that Grandpa Avraham received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he will always be connected. He will always be chibur, connected to you. And this is the reason says Rav Moshe Wolfson, that Kalev chose to go to Hebron. Kalev knew exactly where this was heading with the other spies. He knew that a Golus was likely to come from this, and he was right, because that night was Tisha B'Av. And therefore, Kalev specifically chose to daven in Hebron and not in Yerushalayim. Why? Because in Hebron, he wanted to tap into that promise that Avraham had received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even in Golus, I will be with you. And Kalev needed this assurance right now. And that is why he went to Hebron. And that is why Kalev says, this is where I want to live. I want my family to inherit. Truth is, I think that when we daven Shemona Esra every day and we start with Berchas Avos, we are actually also tapping into that same promise and that assurance that wherever we stand, however far away we feel from HaKadosh Baruch in this long, bitter galus, we are the children of Avraham Avinu, and we are all part of a promise of chibur, of eternal connection, wherever we find ourselves. Thank you for learning this parak together with me. Sefer Yeshua is dedicated by Nina and Chaim Schenke, Mimi Vardi, grandmothers Miriam Schenke, Rachel Freeman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer. Aleinu Shalom. Neshot Chayil, who lived with the utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah Gemilas Hasanim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they faced living in the United States, Israel, and Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael. I wish everyone a wonderful day.